The Carolina Catholic Radio homily of the day comes from Father John Putnam of St. Mark's Catholic Church of Huntersville.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There are two particular characters in the Lord of the Rings trilogy that give concrete examples of some of the metaphors that the Lord uses in the gospel today, as well as the imagery that we see in the first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The first is Smeagol. Smeagol, when we encounter him first, is a normal human-like person, right? He encounters the ring when his best friend finds it, and then he's consumed with this desire to possess it. So strong is that desire that he ends up killing his friend in order to obtain it. And then we see a gradual transformation of Smeagol into what would become Gollum, one that dwells in darkness in the caves, is consumed with the dark power of the ring and doesn't even look humanoid anymore. The other is the creature Shelob, the big spider that lives in the cave above Minas Morgul. And she lives obviously in this cave full of webs that have the carcasses and the skeletons of all of her victims. And when Frodo encounters her, he pulls out Galadriel's gift to him, which was the light of a star, right? And we see Shelob just, you know, get as far away from that light as she possibly can. So that image of light and darkness, I think, is something that we can all relate to, because whether we like to admit it or not, all of us have both within us. The desire, of course, that the Lord has for us is that we all allow His light dwelling in us to shine forth, to dispel the darkness that so often is a part of the world in which we live. And we see that darkness more and more each day. And at times, it can almost cause one to give in to a certain despair or hopelessness because we don't see the tide turning that much. But when we hear these words from the prophet Isaiah, we get an inkling of how we might provide the antidote. "If you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech, if you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then light shall rise for you in the darkness, and the gloom shall become for you like midday." If we hear that imagery and imagine for a moment what the world would be like if we actually took the words of the prophet seriously, and if what he prophesies here was allowed to be recognized, the world would be a completely different place. There wouldn't be wars, there wouldn't be violence, there wouldn't be human trafficking, there wouldn't be needless crime and suffering. And yet we know that those things are still present. And so that brings us to what it is that the Lord calls us to in the gospel. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world." And those images remind us that because we bear the name of Christian, we have an immense obligation. We have an obligation to be salt and light in the world. And we do that in varied ways. Not all of us is called, like Mother Teresa, to go and work in the slums of India. Not every one of us is called to work in the midst of the slums in some of the inner cities. But we are all called to do something because by baptism, we have become light bearers. We have the light of Christ within us. And whether or not we allow that light to shine very much depends on how we choose to live each day of our lives. Interestingly, going back to the image of Gollum, even he still had some of the light within him. If you remember, after he started trusting Frodo, he became much more childlike, much more trusting, but very quickly afterward fell back into the darkness, which is true for any one of us. That's what sin does to our souls. It dims the light within us, and depending on the sin, can put the light out until that light can be restored through the sacrament of penance. But the way we allow the light to shine is by letting our words, allowing our actions to show forth the light of Christ in the midst of the darkness. And we do that, as Scripture says, through exercising the corporal works of mercy, by clothing the naked, by feeding the hungry, by giving drink to the thirsty. And each one of us can do something, though not necessarily in the same way. We have to choose to be the light. We have to choose to be salt. And as Jesus points out, if we don't activate that light which is within us, then we quickly lose our ability to shine and we are useful for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. The light has to be cultivated. Just like when building a fire, we have to constantly make sure that there's enough fuel in the fire, we have to adjust the logs, we have to make sure that enough oxygen is getting in there to make sure that the flame burns brightly. The same is true for us. And we nourish that light in three principal ways. First, by maintaining a faithful life of prayer. We can't simply give the Lord lip service if we want to grow in holiness. If we want to let our light shine, we actually have to dedicate a portion of our day to spending time with Him. Now, each person is going to do that according to his or her proper vocation. Most of you are not going to spend time in prayer as would a monk in a monastery or a nun in a convent. But you are called to spend time in prayer in accordance with your particular vocation and your place in the world. And that means actually doing something, spending time with the Lord, listening to the Lord. The second is making sure that we receive the sacraments worthily, that we prepare ourselves when we come to Mass to have an encounter with the living God, to understand that what happens at the altar is heaven and earth actually come together so that we, unworthy as we are, can be nourished with the very body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, who comes to us to strengthen us for the journey and to help us be courageous enough to let the light shine. And finally, to exercise those works of charity, to focus outwardly rather inwardly, because we know that there's enough selfishness in the world, and we need to learn to be more selfless. God calls us to let the light shine, and we are the ones called to dispel the darkness because we have experienced the light that shines forth from the gospel, the light that shines forth from the cross and from the empty tomb. St. Paul says, the way we are to live is to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ crucified. The cross reminds us that there will be difficulties. There will be times of darkness. But even in the midst of the darkness, if we keep our eyes fixed on him, we will always be able to find the light, first within ourselves, and then to allow that light to shine and dispel the darkness of our world. It's a daily task, a daily battle. But if we don't accept the task, if we don't engage in the battle, then who will? For if those who claim to be Christ do not stand up and act as Christ, then the darkness can quickly overcome. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
This has been the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app.